Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be God's kingdom.
Amen. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires are known. From you there are no secrets hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things in your well-beloved Son, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, mercifully grant that the peoples of the earth, divided and enslaved by sin, may be freed and brought together under his most gracious rule, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from Daniel. As I watched, thrones were set in place, and an ancient one took his throne. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and flowed out from his presence. A thousand thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood attending him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. As I watched in the night visions, I saw one like a human being coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient One and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So one of these Sundays, I'm going to be here when the Nevis children are here, and we're going to have a children's homily that we don't have to sub adults for children for. But this morning, we get to sub adults for children, which is... So it's always a good time for you to pretend to be your children's self again. If you don't know, today is the last Sunday of our church calendar year. It is the last Sunday after the Sunday of Pentecost, and the feast of the reign of Christ, or the Christ the King. It goes by some other names too. Falls on this Sunday, and I don't think... we get a good education these days in church about how the flow of the church year works and why it works the way that it works. So I thought I would do that with our kids this morning. So what that means is I do that with you. I did it with the children at St. Albans last Sunday. Gabby's still talking about it. Yes. It's all the rage. It's like, did you know the church year? She's not. But we're trying. We're trying to generate some interest. So the way this begins is I say, I wonder about time and what time is. And some people say time moves in a line, And then I just pause and wonder if that's true. Does time move in a line? And if only we had something to see that. And then I say, oh, what is this? And I say, it's time in a line. And this part right here is the beginning. But as time moves on, it's the oldest part. So the part that's like a beginning is the oldest part. And I wonder if it will ever end. It keeps going and going and going. If it doesn't, time gets on a knot on itself sometimes. And then it ends. And you make the point that we have time with a beginning that's the oldest part that looks like an ending, and an ending that's the newest part, so it looks like a beginning. So we have an ending that looks like a beginning and a beginning that looks like an ending. And what the church decided to do was take the ending that looks like a beginning and a beginning that looks like an ending and tie them together so that time moves in a circle. So that for every beginning, there is an ending, and for every ending is a beginning. And so I showed them this circle. And ideally, it's on a flat ground so that the clock wheels don't move here. But I say that the church has three great times, which is Easter and Christmas and Pentecost. And together we deconstruct this thing and put it back together. Instead of doing that, I'm just going to show you a couple of really interesting things. One is that for Easter, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Sundays to get ready for Easter. But there are only 1, 2, 3, 4 Sundays to get ready for Christmas. And the reason for that is that Easter is a bigger mystery than Christmas. That both of them, it's really easy to just walk by that mystery and not get ready for it. So the church has put time to prepare. But the time to prepare for Easter is longer than the time to prepare for Christmas. And Easter is such a big mystery that there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Sundays after Easter to continue to move into that mystery. And it ends with Pentecost. And you always go, ooh, that's really hot. And they get a kick out of that, just like you did right just now. Right? And then you say there are the great growing Sundays. And these are the time when things are summer. In this part of the world, it's summer. Kids are going to camp. But as you move to the great growing Sundays, the days grow a little bit shorter. And school starts back up. And things get new again. There's new teachers, new books. There's new things to learn, there's new friends to make, and the day gets darker and darker and darker, and I think you all can attest to that, until it seems like the light is going to go out, and right at that ending, which is where we are this Sunday, there's a new beginning with the first Sunday of Advent to get ready for Christmas again. The other neat thing about this is that this Sunday, one of the great times, is that stands there hot because that is the Sunday where something sad happened here, but then we had to figure out the joy that happened after that sad thing when Jesus died on the cross. And first followers of Jesus were so excited about it, so full of joy, that the Holy Spirit came down upon them and it looked like there was fire on their heads. And so that's why the Sunday of Pentecost is red, the color of fire. And the one other thing that I'll tell you that I like to tell the kids is that the church tells time with color, as well as these sort of calendar ideas. That they also use color. And the color for Christmas, for Advent, is purple, which is the color of royalty. But it's also blue. I think we do blue here. Do we do blue here? Yes. Yes. And that's a recent change in the church. And the reason we use blue is because blue is the color of the Mother Mary. And you can't have the baby Jesus without the Mother Mary. And then the color for Easter is purple, which is the color of royalty. And we know that Jesus is going to be made a king, but a different kind of king, right? And the season, the Sundays after Pentecost are all green. And then you want to say to them, do you know what they call the Sundays after Pentecost? The Sundays after Pentecost, which is the most boring name for those Sundays ever. So, but there, and we have a lot of them. Nine here in between Christmas and the beginning of Easter, and something like 28 of them over here between the Sunday of Pentecost and the beginning of Advent. Ordinary time, that's right. Thank you, yes. Man, that's the advanced class. We're still down here in 101, and you're like college prep all of a sudden, like the AD class. That's right, it is ordinary time. And so ordinary time happens, and people don't realize this, in two places. It happens here between the season, after the Sunday of the Epiphany. So it's the Sundays after Epiphany, that's ordinary time. And the Sundays after Pentecost are ordinary time. That's right. That's right. And when you say it that way, you would also say this is Eastertide, and this is Christmastide, and this is Advent and Lent. So, yeah. Okay. And then I would ask some wondering questions like, what is your favorite time of the year? I wonder what your favorite time of the year is.
Christmas.
Christmas. That is like the number one. Even though Easter, you're trying to get Easter to be this thing, Christmas always wins. Always. I wonder what your favorite color is in the calendar. Purple. Purple. Yeah. You know, St. Peter's over there, Quinn, that traditional priest he is, he went back to purple on bucking the trends. He said, I'm going back to purple on an Advent. Oh, man. He's a rebel, that Quinn over there. So, all right. Thank you.
A reading from the Revelation to John. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I'm not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born. For this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to Pilate, "For this I was born, for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth, and those who listen to the truth are part of the kingdom. I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen." When I was a much, much younger lad, of 20, I traveled to England. The woman I had dated through high school into college was studying in London, and I saved up a bunch of money, and I went over there to see her, and stayed there in London. And I remember flying; it was quite an ordeal. It was I guess it was the spring of 2022, so not long after 9/11 had happened, and it's kind of a chaotic experience. And I hadn't flown since that had happened in New York, and flying to England, I got jet lagged, which I think most people who fly to England just can handle it. But that 6-hour difference really did a number on me. And I got there, and I got off the plane, and it was a Sunday morning, and Amanda came and picked me up, and we went to church at St. John's, which is a big place, and there in London. It's a famous church. And I don't know what I was expecting, but I was expecting just a different kind of worship experience. And as I'm sitting there, maybe it was the jet lag, maybe it was something else, but it just felt like home. It felt like the service I had grown up with at St. James in Knoxville. All the pieces were there. A lot of the prayers were the same. People were dressed funny, like me right now. So it all looked kind of felt very similar. And there was a sermon, and I remember the sermon was about 9/11. And then they did the prayers of the people, right? And we're getting through the prayers of the people, and halfway through the prayers of the people, somebody says, "And God save the Queen." And that's when I knew that I wasn't in Kansas anymore. I had made it to a different kind of place, right? As I was looking up this Sunday, I was thinking about Sunday, Christ the King Sunday. So you should know that this Sunday goes by a whole host of different names. Christ Reign Sunday, the Reign of Christ Sunday, Christ the King Sunday. There's a really long name for it. I bet Gretchen knows it, being the Anglophile that she is. But it's something like, it's something like the glorious reign of our Lord and Jesus Christ, or the glorious reign of our Savior and Lord, the King Jesus Christ. That's the long name of the feast that we are on. Try to get that onto a bulletin. It's like, man, oh man, look, we're trying to run out of space here on the bulletin. And so as I was thinking about how do I bring people into a feast about Christ as King? What does that mean for us, especially for a people in the 21st century who founded a country, as a republic, which is to say, not having a king. Like, so the idea of a king or having a king is kind of a foreign concept to us. It's not something we're used to, right? We think about authority and power differently. I think even in like most of the Anglican world, even in England, that king is what's the term? It's a constitutional monarch. Is that which basically means no real authority. Maybe I don't know. I watched The Crown not too long ago, and I thought I learned quite a bit. It's a good show. It's one of the ones that Casey can watch. So, all right. My TV habits, whatever they are, Casey's is the deciding factor there. So she wanted to watch The Crown. We watched The Crown. I learned a lot. So it's a constitutional monarch. So a lot of people in the Anglican world, they don't have this sense of what it might mean to be a king. And I got to thinking about that is what did people think when this feast first came up? And the real interesting thing is that when I looked up the origins of the feast of Christ the King Sunday, it's not old. It's a 20th century invention. So Pope Pius XI decided he wanted to have a Christ the King Sunday. And he wrote it as an encyclical to the church in 1929 and gave reasons for why he wanted a Christ the King Sunday and listed three. You ready for these? One was to combat secularism in the United States. Second was to combat nationalism in Russia and Central Europe. And the third, which was really funny to me, was he wanted the feast day placed on October the 31st, which happens to be what? Reformation Sunday. So it's like a thumb in your nose at the Protestants. If only everybody would become Catholic under Christ the King like we are, everything would be fine. I immediately called Casey. I was like, guess what your Pope did? So in the 60s, when we did Vatican II, they wanted to tame that whole anti-Protestant sort of rhetoric. And so they moved it. They moved it, and they felt like the appropriate place for it was the last day of the church calendar year, which is this Sunday, Christ the King Sunday. And so that gives us the opportunity at the penultimate, at the precipice of Advent, of the new church year, to wonder what it means to place Christ into the authority sections of our individual lives, of our personal lives, of our community life, of our church life, of our civic and national life. What does it mean to place the authority of Christ right there? And it struck me that the gospel gives us quite a clue to that. So Jesus is in conversation with Pilate in the Gospel of John there. And this conversation is about a secular authority, that is, Pilate, who is the person appointed by the emperor, the representative of the emperor, wondering what this insurrectionist Jesus is up to when he's clearing out the temple and calling himself, and people are calling him a king. It's a debate about authority, right? It's a debate about authority. And Pilate is clear about his authority. I have this authority over you. You know, your own folks handed you over to me, but I have this authority. And he's wondering to Jesus, the questions he's asking Jesus, what is your authority? Getting a sense of, let's define the lines here. Let's talk about who has the power. In a world that thinks about power as like pie. I love to think about pie all the time. And so if you think about power as pie, right, that means if you get a piece of pie, and 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 you get a piece of pie, what's left for me, right? That's kind of how that's the way I think about pie. Who's getting these pieces of pie? Especially if it's a good pie. And so there's maybe some competition about who owns the pie, right? And so Pilate is asking Jesus something about, What slice of the authority pie do you have? And Jesus' answer is truth. Truth is my piece of the pie. I came to testify to truth. And what strikes me as beautiful and wonderful in that answer is that so many times the authority structures in our lives, whether they be civil authorities, whether they be the authority we try to take, they have such a tenuous relationship with truth, right? And so we sort of get at, well, what do we mean by truth? And I'm so glad that, Sally, you stumbled on the revelation. When I was little, I used to call it revelations because that's what my mother called it. And so when everybody wanted me to start taking off that S and call it the revelation, the book of Revelation, I would stumble at the end of that. I would go, the revelations, Shin, the revelation. And the way that I think about it now is I got made fun of in seminary about that, about calling it revelations instead of revelation. And the way I think about it now is there's a lot of revelations in there, and so that S belongs there at the end of it. So says Robert. Revelations, the revelations to St. John there, right? The Greek term is apocalypse. In what Sally read for us today, John of Patmos, whoever that person is, writing these seven house churches about what it means to be Christians in the throes of the power of the Pax Romana, the empire of Rome, right? What it means is he greets them in the name of this person, Jesus, who came into the world for the sake of loving and setting us free by his blood for our sins. The God who comes into the world for the sake of love and setting us free of our sins, for love and redemption. So truth is tied up with love and redemption, that all of us are deserving of love and redemption. And if Jesus lived any life, it was a life that testified to that truth, that all persons, regardless of their political stance, their socioeconomic stance, despite the fact that they're refugees, or that they're blind, or that they're sick, or that they're paralytics, or that they're people who are who have, what's the disease with all the leprosy? Wherever they fit in that social hierarchy, folks, Jesus found those folks and redeemed them, right? You remember the woman with the caught in adultery, right? This is sort of the worst situation you could be in ancient Near Eastern politics, a woman without power caught in a sin, and Jesus empowers her. He says, go and sin no more, so he gives her agency. On top of that, Jesus finds us where we are in our own sort of sin, in our own, where we've taken advantage or abused the power in our lives, and sets us free from those things, loves us despite those things, calls us into that work in the world of loving and forgiving each other, right? Something interesting is going on in the readings today. We got Daniel first, right? And then we got Revelation, and then we got John, okay? So we've got these three things going on. Daniel and Revelation, and arguably John, but definitely Daniel and Revelation are apocalyptic books. That is to say that they are part of a genre that people have an expectation. So when you get on Netflix, and I know you all do, and you look up a rom-com, a romantic comedy, you're not expecting, like, shoot 'em up, bang, bang, right? You know what you're getting into when you pick a rom-com on Netflix. It's something lighthearted, where two people fall in love and there's a little bit of peril there, and then they have to work that out and it gets resolved and there's a lot of funniness along the way, right? Love this genre. But you know what to expect, all right? You go into a rom-com and if you got something else, you'd be upset about it, right? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe you'd be glad about it. But it's the same with apocalyptic literature. Apocalyptic literature does this in the ancient Near East and in the first century. It says, okay, the way that you experience the world is out of sync with what you know to be wonderful and true about who God is. And we know this. There is that truth. And if we just stop for a minute, now, even now in the 21st century, we see that the world is out of sync with what we know to be who God is, right? A just, loving, forgiving, gracious God in a world that is often unforgiving, unloving, ungracious, unequal, right? So there is that dissonance. There is that separation between reality and what we experience of who God is, right? And so what the book of Daniel does is Daniel has this vision of the heavenly realm, and he sees God there as the theophany. He sees God in his splendor, and he can barely look at him, but he can kind of see. And God is, it's this bright thing, and the wheels of the chariot are on fire, and it's this awesome vision. And then all of a sudden, God invites this figure into the world, into the created world. The ancient one, Daniel calls it, And this ancient one is of power. As a Jew, you'd have read this as the Messiah, the one who's coming into the clouds for the sake of bringing the world into connection with the heavenly realm. And so when you read an apocalyptic text like that, what you're expecting to hear is, yeah, my experience of the world is out of sync with what I think God is, but here's this prophet, this seer, this visionary, who has taken this vision, this hyperbolic vision of the heavenly realm, and what's happening in heaven will determine, I can trust, I can have faith that what I see in heaven will determine what is happening on earth. That's what apocalyptic literature is all about, right? And so here we are, we put Christ the King Sunday. We're wondering, we look around at the world and we think, Christ doesn't seem to be in authority in the world around us. And so then the finger gets pointed right back at us. How do you place Christ as king in the world? And then we get Revelation, which deals with dualism, good and evil. And a lot of people reject Revelation for this. Like, it's too simple, they say. It's too black and white. There's the good forces and the evil forces. They're at war with each other. Nothing's that black and white. Everything's gray, right? But the scripture isn't there to confirm our own bias. The scripture there is there to antagonize us, to make us think. And as I think about the book of Revelation, I'm reminded of a story that reminds me that there are times when we can look out into the world and we can say, oh yeah, there is evil here in this world. And that story happened in 2006. It happened in Pennsylvania. Nickel Creek Amish community there in northern Pennsylvania. So there was a delivery person who was making deliveries to this Amish community on a regular basis. And this person was deranged. He had these horrible things, I guess, that happened to him in his life. And one of the things that happened to him was, even though he had children, his wife had miscarried two daughters. And he was angry at God because this happened. And so his choice to deal with that was to get back at God. And the way that he decided to get back at God was to go into this Amish community and murder a set of schoolgirls. There was he went into a schoolhouse, he dismissed all the boys, got all the young girls together, and he shot them, and then he shot himself. And this was a travesty, a certain evil that happened. And then in the aftermath, the Amish people were then left to wonder, what are we to do? What are we to make of this horrible world, this horrible thing that has happened? What does it mean to put Christ as king in a world where this kind of stuff happens? How are we to respond as Christ being our king, as Christ reigning in this world, when these kind of things happen? And everything in between, all the disappointments, the failures, the losses, the diagnoses, the uncertainties, the loss of friends, the breakdown of relationships. What are we to do in a world that is full of these things if we are to place Christ the king, right? So the way the Amish people handled that was money started flowing into that community from around the country. And they had a choice. I mean, typically they would not accept gifts like that. And they got together and they thought, well, all these gifts are coming in and this is an opportunity for us to be gracious, for us to accept with gratitude this way in which folks are trying to help us out. And so they released a statement, and the statement said, we will accept gifts that are coming in as long as everybody who sends gifts understands that half, 50%, half of everything that comes in, we will give to the widow of the truck driver. And not only that, every parent of a slain daughter showed up at the funeral of the truck driver. These were not really the only people there in an act of public forgiveness. And when asked by the media, one of the spokespeople for the Amish community said, everybody's struggling. And our hope is that this widow and her children will not suffer unduly because of the actions of her husband. That is a response, in my mind, as if Christ were king of that community, is how I see that. It's also very different from how, as a parent, I would probably respond to that situation. I don't think I'm asking you to do these fantastical acts of forgiveness. I am asking myself and us on this Christ the King Sunday to wonder how our lives would be shaped differently if we really believed that Christ came into the world to love us, to redeem us, and calls us into that same action towards each other. What's beautiful about the book of Revelation is that it sets this genre on its head. It's like going for a rom-com on Netflix and getting something else instead. Because what John does when he writes this book, if you read chapter 12, is that instead of saying what happens in heaven will determine what happens on earth, John says it's this life lived out, Jesus Christ lived out in humility, love, graciousness, self-sacrifice, and ultimately the ultimate sacrifice. That life lived out in that way determines the outcome in heaven. And so it's the moment in Revelation that Jesus sacrifices himself on the cross that the archangel Michael defeats the dragon and cosmic evil is rendered null and void, right? So it's what happens here that God's inbreaking on the world is inspiring so much that we would take up the mantle of facing down cosmic evil, right? Here we are with these genres sort of flipped upside down, and we're wondering what it means to be followers of the person Jesus in the 21st century when so much, I very much appreciate Pope Pius XI thinking, okay, we need a Christ the King Sunday because everything's being secularized, right? In a world that's more and more materialistic, in a world that's more and more consumeristic, in a world that's more zero-sum games between these two political parties, when violence seems to be the answer to these questions. What does it mean to be a community of Christ who's willing to put Jesus in the places of authority in our world? Amen.
Please stand or kneel as we pray for the church and for the world.
Sally, I think we need to do the creed first. Will you introduce
that
one?
Well, why don't we do that first?
Yeah.
Okay, please stand as we reaffirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
Of all that is seen and unseen,
we believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified upon Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, and in accordance with the Scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the church and for the world.
Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church.
That we all may be one.
Grant that every member of the Church can truly and humbly serve you.
That your name may be glorified by all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons.
That they may be faithful ministers of your word and sacraments.
We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world.
That there may be justice and peace on earth.
We give thanks for the many blessings of this life and for those who have been companions in faith and fellowship. We pray especially for Pat and Rosemary Park, and we give thanks for their love and service among us.
God bless them on their way as they carry our love and duty in the chapter of our lives.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake.
That our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion on those who suffer from any grief or trouble.
That they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest.
Let light and compassion shine on them.
We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May we also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others.
This Sunday we especially pray for the Right Reverend William Sanders, First Bishop of the Diocese of East Tennessee, Ninth Bishop of the Diocese of Tennessee, who died, I think, at the age of 104 this week.
Let's pray for our parish prayer list. Jim, J.R. and Courtney, Pat, John, Priscilla, Greg, Cindy, Joycey, Kelly, Barry, Pete, Kat, Xavier, Becky, Alexander, Kelly, Jerry and Doug, Terry, Dale, Adam, Paula, Margaret, Jack, John, Jenny, Zach, Steve, Kyle, Richard, Bonnie, Cindy, Eddie,
Amy,
Lori,
Eric,
Rick,
and
Rainboy.
Almighty God, to whom our needs are known before we ask, help us to ask only what accords with your will. Those good things which we dare not, or in our blindness cannot ask, grant us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Now let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you
in thought, word, and deed,
by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart.
We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
It's peace. Richard Nixon up here. God's peace, everyone. Few announcements to share. Today we have a dual purpose, and it's a special occasion. This Christ, the reign of Christ, or Christ the King Sunday. We celebrate every perfect gift as we think about our own obligations to St. Thaddeus and to the new year, whether those be time, treasure, or money. But it's particularly good on that occasion to also think about these wonderful folks among us who will depart next month for Florida. Is that right? Florida. Florida? Yeah. How many days?
December 5th.
December 25th. Christmas Day? Okay. Christmas in Florida. please join us after this service. There's good food and an opportunity to celebrate these loved ones among us as they head on their way. So please join us after this service as we celebrate this perfect gift that has been a part of our life here at St. Thaddeus. If you haven't noticed already, or if you haven't gotten the news, masks are optional going forward. And then a word about communion. So this morning we have, get one of them here. We are bringing the chalice back as an option. I want to invite you to receive communion as you feel safe and comfortable doing that. One of the options is to receive one of these. This has real wine and a tiny wafer, but I will be giving the wafer no matter what, so it's like a bonus wafer. A little bit of bonus Jesus here. So, if you want the chalice, Gretchen's going to come around first with the chalice. If you'd rather take one of these, Sally's going to come behind her with this, with a platter, and you can receive one of these, and I'll leave with the wafers. So that's how we're doing communion. I want you to take communion as you feel safe and comfortable and most spiritually fed doing that. I also want to talk about on December the 5th, Sunday, December 5, which I think is two Sundays from now, our annual meeting. We will we'll hear from our vestry. We will elect new vestry members heading into 2022. And most importantly, we'll hear from a group of people, several groups of people, who are doing visioning work, thinking about how we might move forward as a church into the future, and thinking about our own sustainability and what God is calling us into. And so I want to talk to you for just a minute about what those groups are up to. There's three of them. There's one at St. Albans, a visioning group made up of St. Albans people, and they're having conversations and thinking strategically about the sustainability, the long-term sustainability of St. Albans. There's a group of people at St. Thaddeus, a visioning team of St. Thaddeus people, and they're having conversations about connecting to the community to maybe gather some more interest and participation and connection to our church and our community. So there's that group. There's a third group. That third group is made up of people across both churches. That group is having conversations about what it might look like, what would be the joys and challenges of combining the two churches. And so all these groups are responsible for making presentations to the vestry. These groups are not responsible for deciding what we are going to do. They are instead responsible for gathering information, praying about that information, and presenting it to the vestry, who will then have a conversation and talk to you as the parish and make a decision mid-next year about how we are going to move forward. That is to say that none of these visioning groups are in stone, and there's no specific outcome we're going for, other than having a conversation about what God is calling us into and entering into whatever it is that God wants us to do faithfully. So if that means staying to churches and engaging with the community, that is a conversation that we are having with all of you. So there's no defined outcome here. All the visioning groups are doing work to try to figure out what might be best for the future of our churches and what God is up to in our midst. And so so I ask you to engage in the parish forum on the 5th. It will be a time for them to say, okay, here's what we've been talking about and thinking. What do you think? They're already doing some of that work. All the groups are having conversations with folks. So please come and be a part of that time where we can have this very, very important conversation. Yes, please. Okay, we're shifting gears. All right.
I just know that we haven't heard about the food pantry in a little bit. I don't have any role with the food pantry except a volunteer. So I just wanted to let you all know that after a time of transition and a little bit of an ebb, Courtney Hicks and Kelly Taylor took on the leadership role for the group. A bunch of people volunteered, including people from St. Albans, and we have at least one non-affiliated community member. But something that's really been a shot in the arm for the food pantry is Boyd Hoover. And yesterday, there were 20 adults served, 12 children, and 8 pets. Because yes, we do have things for folks who need food for their pets. And that's due in large measure, I think, to the work that Lloyd's done handing out cards
in the community, to Goodwill, to Food City, places where people who might need food might learn about our pantry. Anyone can volunteer. It doesn't take strength. It doesn't take agility. It just takes a warm heart. See Courtney if you'd like to come, and just come one time if you haven't come before. It's a great ministry.
Thank you, Vicki. And that's 2 to 4 on Saturdays.
Yes.
2 to 4 on Saturdays. Lloyd.
I would like to comment real quick. We're going to build it back up, and it's building back up. We will need volunteers, and we will need things. Today, Robert asked me to try and look for some toys. I actually broke down on the way here and started walking and was picked up by somebody living out of their van, dropped off here, and they've got a child, etc., etc. They asked me what we were doing for kids for Christmas, and I really didn't have an answer. But I'm going to be calling Forgotten Child Fund tomorrow and see if we can get a box here for crying out for Forgotten Child Fund. We did have not 12 kids come yesterday, but we did have 5 or 6 kids come in cars yesterday. And to have some sort of Christmas present, if you've got something, if you're going to be out Black Friday shopping and something's on sale cheap to get, or, you know, something, whatever. Well, I think we're trying to wrap a Christmas present and give out to those with kids, also be given the Forgotten Child Fund. Look for more information next week, but being Black Friday physically, I don't know how many of you actually get out and shop it. I have in the past. I haven't recently. Who knows where the Lord will lead me? I don't know. But if you're out and doing something, or you got gifts or kid prizes you bought before and never got given away, or presents, please bring them.
Thanks, Lloyd. Deb.
Okay. Well, speaking of Christmas and that time of year, Advent officially begins next Sunday.
That's right.
So, Saturday, we're going to get together at 10 o'clock, and Flower Guild is going to head up doing the Advent wreath. So, if you want to come and participate or learn how to do one, take home, please come on. We'll be here 10, light refreshments, and we always enjoy ourselves while we're getting that together.
Saturday at what time, then?
10 o'clock.
10 a.m.
Saturday. In other words, right after Thanksgiving.
Okay. Thanks.
Here
at the church. Black Friday, it's like the Christ the King Sunday of the secular world, right?
That's yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yes. If you have any boxwood, Leland cypress, that's usually what we traditionally use to make the wreath, let us know, get in touch with me, and we'll be glad to have that. Thank you.
Thank you, Deb.
One quick thing. And I'll try not to stumble over it. Jean and I both would like to thank everybody for your prayers and your thoughts for my son, Eddie. He is doing absolutely phenomenal. He's like Jean, he's a liberated buddy, and he cannot wait to get back to work. He's going to be out for what, another 2 weeks, right? But he's just doing absolutely. He would have gone right from the hospital to work if he could. We all said no. Let's give it another day or so. But he's been with us, and he's been with, he went back to his apartment 2 days afterwards. I guess 2 days ago, it's too much for him. But it's doing well, and I want to thank everybody who has prayed for him and involved in.
Thank you, Sally.
Good news.
If I could get him to be a Episcopalian instead of a hardwood match, I would do it. But he won't do it.
Takes all kinds. Takes all kinds. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to You, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For You are the source of light and life. You made us in Your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise You, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of Your name. We give thanks to You, O God, for the goodness and love which You have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be Your people, in Your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the Word made flesh, Jesus, Your Son. For in these last days, You sent Him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In Him You have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before You. In Him You have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before He died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when He had given thanks to You, He broke it, gave it to His friends, and said, "Take, eat. This is My body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of Me." After supper, He took the cup of wine. And when He had given thanks, He gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is My blood of the new covenant. It is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of Me." Therefore, according to His command, O Father, we remember His death. We proclaim His resurrection. We await the dead. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to You, O Lord of all, presenting to You from Your creation this bread and this wine. We pray You, gracious God, to send Your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and His blood of the new covenant. Unite us to Your Son in His sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through Him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under Your Christ. Bring us to that heavenly country where with Jude, Thaddeus, and all Your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of Your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By Him, and with Him, and in Him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is Yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Come taste and see that God is good. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep you in everlasting life. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep you in everlasting life. The blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep you in everlasting life. The bread of heaven. May God bless you. May God keep you. May God make her face shine upon you and be gracious to you this day. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep you in everlasting. This is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Take this remembrance that Christ died for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. This is the body of Christ, the bread. Take this remembrance that Christ died for thee. Feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. This is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep you in everlasting life. This is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. May God bless you. May God keep you. May God make his face shine upon you this day and remain with you forevermore. The body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep you in everlasting life. This is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, keep you in everlasting life. Thank you. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, go forth into the world in peace and be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen those who are faint-hearted and support folks in need. And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Before I dismiss us, somebody tell me what a lathe is. What? Carve what? Wood with it? Okay. These hymns, they teach you something. I didn't know what a lathe was.
Yeah.
Oh, what? How fitting. Pat, we got a lathe here in the hymn for you. We've got a lathe here in the hymn for you. Yeah. Am I saying it right? Yeah, that's right. It's a vulnerable moment. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us go to the parish hall to love and rejoice and eat chicken. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.